Welcome to Adaptation, the podcast for in-depth discussion on books and their film adaptations. This is episode number 4 for February 23rd, 2012, where we will discuss the movie adaptations of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and The Woman in Black. I'm your host, Kendall Bryant,
Corey Brooks,
and Jessica Dick.
Hey guys!
Hi.
How you doing?
I feel weird asking you how you are after...
I've been hanging out with this one.
Pretty much.
Yes. So, just to start off with the, like, upcoming in theaters, since we're really excited about this next one, Dr. Seuss's The Lorax comes out March 2nd in the U.S. and July 27th in the U.K., which is BS, for the record. It stars the voices of Danny DeVito, Ed Helms, Zac Efron, Taylor Swift, and Betty White.
Taylor Swift, really?
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't even care.
Betty White.
Okay,
Betty
really?
White for the
I'm interested in why you were like, Taylor Swift, really, and not Zac Efron, really. Because that was my reaction. I was like, Zac Efron, really. Yeah.
No, see, Taylor Swift, her voice annoys me more.
Okay, fair.
But Betty White just made up for that,
yes.
So it's okay.
I don't know. Have you seen the trailer?
No, I haven't.
You should definitely go and watch the trailer.
I'll go and watch the trailer.
Yep.
Because it looks cool.
Yes.
Will do.
And I think that they really kind of, it seems like they may have expanded the world that you're in, and then, like, he goes and hears the story. They, like, kind of expanded that, like, outside. Because obviously the story itself is
pretty simple.
Simple and short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But awesome.
But awesome, yeah. I feel like I wrote a like summary down, but I feel like I don't even need to say it now. The other one is Being Flynn, which also comes out March 2nd in the U.S., and it doesn't have a U.K. release. I think it's possibly indie. It might even be premiering at a film festival, which happens a lot. It'll just be maybe a limited U.S. release, but it's directed by Paul Weitz, and it stars Paul Dano, Robert De Niro, and Julianne Moore. And it's based on Nick Flynn's memoir, Another Bullshit Night in Sauk City, which is the best title I ever heard for a book.
I like it.
And it tells the story of a, like, re-encounter with Nick and his con man, writer, father, who was in prison for a lot of his life and, like, whatever. And they like, he runs into him at the homeless shelter where Nick works there at the homeless shelter, so. It looks good. It's just sad that it's not. Like, I watched the preview and I was like, I could totally see this, but I actually can't see this.
And I mean, you can't.
It's not going to be.
There aren't that many casts that are as good as that one. Julianne Moore and Robert De Niro.
I know Robert De Niro playing the crazy con man writer father. But, like, in the preview, too, he, like, randomly will spout off those, like, little bits of wisdom, even though he's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Which I love characters like that so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I can't, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it will come out here once it gets famous in America or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or just rent it in, like, 2 years. Whatever. So I guess we could move into Girl with Dragon Tattoo. I just watched it. Literally, like, half an hour ago I finished it, so.
Yes, I pulled her away from the last 30 minutes to let me in the door.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's true. And then I was like, you don't have to watch the last bit if you don't want to. You don't have to watch it again.
The last bit's not the disturbing part.
No.
No.
It's the part where you're like, yes! Bastard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yes, let's I don't even know how to say, like, what are your thoughts on the movie, because it's so, like, how do you have thoughts on this movie?
There are just so many. It's like you keep saying all the feels, they're all the thoughts in this movie.
Yes.
To just, like, dump it on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as a movie, in general, really good.
Really good.
Oh, yeah, that was a great movie.
Yeah.
It was... really well done.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like it was 2.5 hours. 2 hours and 40 minutes.
It was engaging. Like, you just wanted to just, like, wait, what's going to happen next? Wait, what? So, you just,
I think I got lost a little bit in the investigation part. When they were investigating. Because they weren't really saying anything. They were just looking at things, and I was like, I don't have your brain.
You need to show me what you see.
I don't understand. What do you see?
exactly.
Like, the whole went with the Martin thing, I was so confused. I was like, why? Why does he think it's him? He does explain it afterwards.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, were you well, you read the book, but...
Yeah, I'm actually fascinated by what...
Were you confused?
Which one's Martin again?
Martin is the bad guy. He's the killer.
Were you confused as to why they thought it was him? Like, because of the picture and because of, like, they tracked...
I saw the pictures. Seeing the pictures, and I was seeing the little... I could tell he was looking at that patch on his jacket.
Yeah, no, I kind of got it right away.
I did not understand what that patch meant.
Oh, I understood.
Oh, okay.
But...
Well, that was just me.
Yeah, no, I got that. I was like,
And then he went over there, and I was like, oh, does he think he's the killer?
Yeah. I went over there, I'm like, that's a bad idea.
I mean, to be fair, it was... He was the one that was the nicest to him. So we should have thought of that.
Yeah. You always have to be suspicious of the nice person.
Nancy
Drew Computer Games taught me that.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, I was really terrified it was going to be sweet old Christopher Plummer. So terrified, because he was so nice. Why would he do the investigation? I know. Yeah. Well, I assumed that what the thing was... I didn't think that he killed Harriet. I just thought he was behind all of the other murders.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, same with,
he was the traveling face of the company. Was he?
No, I don't know. Not at that point.
Yeah, no, he was the traveling face of the company.
I don't know. I can't remember all of these details.
Yeah. Well, that's how they figured out that it was the father, because the traveling face of the company.
That's right. Yeah, because he was going from place to place.
But then there was that one, like, random one.
I thought maybe there was all of him. Or maybe he was, he was, the head of it. You go do this, and you go do this. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like with the patches thing. They kind of figured it out because of the last victim, because they both went to the same school. Mm-hmm. And that's what the patches meant.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So.
Right.
Because they were really stumped by
it. So my gathering from that, though, was that he had been doing it ever since as well, but he was more careful.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of murders that we didn't even know about.
Yes.
Yeah, no. He started cleaning up his mess after.
Well, because his dad had the biblical system. That was in the American one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He had the biblical system for doing it. So, they would track these weird murders, the ones with the crazy things associated with it.
Yeah.
But then Martin didn't have that.
Oh,
so he was less predictable.
Yeah, he was just a racist asshole. Right. Racist, sexist asshole.
Right.
Racist, sexist, psychopath.
Well, even worse.
Psychopaths are always worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't care.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, because
they don't have all the feels.
He was a man who hated women. That was the whole thing. Like, he didn't even have and I know you don't want to bring into the book yet, but according to the book, he didn't even have, the racism signifier for his victims.
Oh, okay.
He would just pick.
I thought he did. He did.
He would pick women who didn't have people looking out for them. People, immigrants who had just moved to the country, regardless of where they come from and such like that.
Okay.
So they were, low.
They didn't really specify that in the movie.
Yeah.
So you just kind of figured that he was going for the whole, not white. Whatever you
want to
call it.
Mm. Nope. Yeah, no, I mean, I guess I didn't really think about it, whether he was going for it. I just was like, oh, he was not scattered. He said, I scattered mine.
Yeah,
he did. Fired wide or something.
Didn't he, dump him in the ocean?
Probably.
Yeah, I think they did mention that he disposed of him in, some body of water somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm glad Harriet killed her father.
Power to
I'm her. Also glad that car blew up.
Yeah, me too. Although I would have been okay with Lisbeth shooting him in the head.
Oh, yeah, except for that I was afraid that she was going to go down for it because he was not a physical threat to her at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was literally like, don't shoot him now, honey. You will go to jail. It will be cold blood.
Yeah.
That's one thing that was really interesting in the Swedish film was that they just kind of suggested that even though she didn't, pull the trigger when I was still, the car blew up, they gave her, a span of time where she could have saved him and didn't. So it still, made her culpable for it.
Yeah, but nobody would have known that.
No, exactly.
Yeah. I would have been okay with
it. But it still gave her a little bit more of a menace than in this book.
I think she had some time, but I didn't ever think...
The slow, intimidating walk while he was watching her, crap. I'm screwed.
Basically.
And then, she's like, okay.
All right, whatever. Just turns around and walks away.
Yeah. She's just like, all right.
I
It works.
Yeah. I liked her a little too much.
I really did like her, although sometimes I was just like, I thought to myself, I'm like, you just got brutally raped, and you're already back in bed. Wow, you don't get traumatized easily.
Well,
mentally unstable.
She's a fighter.
I mean, I am not gonna lie, I really, really kind of was like, yay, when she went off on that guy.
I was too.
Oh my god! Okay, I'm like, am I a horrible person right now? Because I'm kind of like.
No, I was glad she did, although it was kind of horrific to watch.
It was definitely horrific to watch, but I was kind of like, yeah, I don't feel bad for him.
No, I didn't feel bad. I'm just like, oh, I don't need to see that.
Archie, honey. Well, I didn't understand when she went back. I was like, you have the video. I don't understand. What do you have blackmail. I'm so confused. And then that happened, and I was like.
It's like, no, she doesn't stop at blackmail.
Oh, no, not just blackmail. Okay. Not sure I'm okay with this, but I kind of want to be. I don't know. Oh, God, I can't remember what it was. There was a thing on Tumblr the other day that was, like, about scary movies or, like, serial killer movies or anything like that, where it was like, this happens, you're like, this happens, oh. And then the last one was like, the dog gets killed. How dare you! I literally did that when the cat died.
I did too!
I was like, why would you do that?
Somebody actually had to point out to me that it was a swastika that they cut him out. I was like, well, it's a cat! I don't care! It's a freaking cat!
This is the first that I saw that.
Yeah, my friend sitting next to me was like, it's a swastika, Corey. I'm like,
cat! Dismembered cat! Unnecessary! Not that any of the other deaths were. That's why I feel horrible about feeling that way. But I was just like, no, you did not. That cat did nothing. And it's funny because I was really into the cat plotline because that first when it showed up, I was like, oh, kitty. And then he bought the cat food for it, and I was like, cat food for the cat, it's so cute. And then the cat died. Oh no, when she comes over the first night that she's there and he's sleeping on the couch and he goes, there might be a cat somewhere.
The cat owned the place.
Legit.
Yes.
They usually do.
They do, it's true.
I don't know, anything else? Anybody wants to say specifically about the U.S.?
I want to know what you guys thought of Harriet, like, where Harriet ended up, like, what happened to her.
Well, why don't you tell us what you thought, Jess?
Well, but
I already know.
I'm coming from the book, too, and I mentioned in the last podcast how I thought it was really awesome how they showed, on the one hand, Lisbeth, who, like, violently takes her freedom or her...
Yeah,
her freedom and revenge. And then they also had Harriet, who, well, I had actually forgotten to even mention, like, her killing her dad, too, which is, again, violently kind of taking her freedom, but also just being able to escape altogether.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
I think, you know, Harriet was actually, I mean, because psychopathic family man.
Oh, my gosh.
Because, I mean,
she's relatively normal.
Yeah, I mean, I think she was brave to, you know, risk her life and get away like
she
that.
She was trapped.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there was no way out.
That was pretty, you know, smart, because she left everybody thinking she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody thought to look for her, you know,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond the island where she lived. But, like, I think, like, where she ended up, she seems more high profile in London.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Than you would think that somebody who wanted to not be found would be.
Yeah.
Like, closer than you think. That she, you know, you think she'd run farther.
Yeah.
Well, she did in the book. And I had mentioned, like, she did in the book and she did in the Swedish film. She's in Australia.
Right.
Like, she's so, almost so far off the grid that they barely found her.
Yeah.
But in this one, I was like, okay, you technically, yeah, you still took Anita's name, but you almost, like, went into her life, like, took her life as well, in that you were living so close that pretty much any member of your family could have just... Hey, let's go visit Anita, even though this family doesn't seem that close. Like,
yeah, or if they happen to be in London for business. Like,
yeah.
Oh, Anita's here.
let's just arrange to stay with her for the weekend or something like that, you know? Like,
yeah.
It just seemed like a
I think we're getting
a
little stuck on the normal families. What normal families do.
I was going to say, they all live on the same island and none of them talk to each other.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that's a little bit, you know.
But I still sort of feel like it was just too easy.
From, yeah.
She was just too
easily
accessible.
Can I ask, in the book,
there.
Did they bring her back to meet Christopher Plummer? Henry. Christopher Plummer.
They do.
Okay, so even though they find her in Australia, it's not too far that she doesn't, like, come back. That's cool. I thought that it was going to... I really wanted it to be the mom that helped her get away. Like, really a lot.
Yeah.
I really wanted that because they kept referencing how useless the mother was and how, like, even the police report said the mother was intoxicated and they, like, literally were just putting her down constantly. And I was like, there's some... I don't know. I really just wanted it to be her that helped her get away.
And
they kept showing her face being just traumatized almost that night whenever they showed her. And so I was like, oh, I think it's her. And then when he goes, there's only one person left in the family that could know where she is. And then they point to Anita and I was like, that wasn't that surprising. Like, I feel like there should have been more of a surprise than that. Anyways.
Yeah.
Plus, then you have, the mother kind of, everybody thought that she was a horrible mother. So much so that he took her kids away, basically.
Yeah.
And
come to find out.
I really wanted her, it to be, come to find out she was actually the only one doing anything for her daughter to get her away from stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen, I know.
Come to find out, she just...
Really
was
a shit mom.
Awful.
She told
her what was going on, and she just turned a blind eye.
Oh, yeah. It's how can you sit there and let your daughter be raped by your husband and your son?
I'm wondering...
Repeat it.
I can't remember in the book if it even mentioned... I'm wondering if she was ever the brunt of it, too.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's why she turned to,
I was gonna say, that's why...
Maybe.
To be fair, it was his wife, so probably...
Yeah.
But, that's the thing with, serial killers, how the wives even become accomplices, because they're just so fucking glad that their sadistic asshole husband is not turning it on them, that they'll even help them capture people. Watch way too much Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Amazing show. Anyway.
I love that show.
But, yeah, that's, that could have been what happened.
Anyways. So... See that movie then.
Yeah. It was really good.
So what about, you've kind of already mentioned some differences in the Swedish version. Is it just closer to the book?
You know what? I can't even say either way which one was closer. I mean, obviously there were small things like Anita or Harriet being in London as opposed to Australia in the Swedish film. But they were really close. They were both really good representations of the book. One thing that was different, and I'm not entirely sure which one I liked better, was Lisbeth in the Swedish film. I don't know, she came off a little bit more vulnerable. She seemed younger. She didn't seem quite as hard, which made it a little bit scarier when she went off on Nils, or when she, pretty much killed Martin in the end. Or just stood by and watched him die, pretty much.
Right.
So it did make it a little bit creepier. Another thing in the Swedish film, actually, they, at the very end, they kind of stopped it where they just kind of suggested that Lisbeth and Mikael just kind of continued their relationship. They didn't go on to show, that she was
hurt.
Yeah,
what an ass.
Yeah.
I was really pissed off.
That was a nice jacket.
That was such... God. I was a little turned on by that jacket. I'm not gonna lie. You know how I feel about bomber jackets, and I was just like,
"You
yes.
loved the jacket."
And then she threw it in the garbage. I was like, "Corey was here. Corey was here." I went, "No, but it's so beautiful." At least take it back so someone else can enjoy it. No. Yeah, I was really pissed.
Well, that's one thing. In the movie, they even mentioned it a little bit, but the woman that he was with was, his business associate, which they'd been together, but not really, for, years. They were, best friends and occasional lovers. So it's like he fell back into this pattern.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he was purposely trying to hurt.
But he lied to her about being with his daughter that night.
No.
No, uh-huh. he was with his daughter at that point.
Yeah,
he
was at that party.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a different night.
Confused. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, still. Okay, yeah, fine. But I was still pissed. I liked them.
You can be pissed because he was just insensitive.
He really was.
Yeah, well.
My thought is that he looked at her and thought that she, to use a quote from Jane Austen, like, her heart wasn't easily touched. So he didn't think that she was, she...
He didn't think that there was that anything was, there. Considering they talked about cases while they were having sex.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was my favorite part ever that happened. I was just like, yes, love it. Anyways, so did we need another version? That's kind of what I was wondering.
I mean, the Swedish one was dubbed, so I don't know how close the translation was. You know, I don't know if it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
The voices seemed okay, so I liked the first version. But I know there would be some people who would be pissed off that
they had to read
They had to. No, it wasn't even subtitled. It was like the voices just didn't match up with what their lips were, with the shape of their lips at that point. So I know some people would be annoyed by that. So maybe they did need it for the English world because, you know, we're so closed off that we don't want to.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good, though. I thought both versions were good.
I have a question. In the book, or the Swedish film, I don't know, whichever, because I only saw the American version, do they delve more into Lisbeth's past? Because we know that she tried to kill her father and got about 80% of him. Because, you know, that's normal when you burn somebody alive. But do they ever discuss why or what
I mean, did I, to bring I would that assume on? She was raised by him.
I did not know anything about her father from the first book. I'm assuming that one gets brought into the second one.
Oh, okay.
Because
my assumption
it was the movies that told me.
My assumption was that he was raping her.
That was my assumption, too, but I just wondered if I could confirm or deny that after.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the Swedish film had a scene where she was, like, standing out. She was, like, a little girl and standing outside her dad's car, and she took, like, a gasoline container and just, like, covered him in it and just threw a match on him. And so I don't know how close that is. I'll read the book soon and figure it out.
I mean, that sounds like something a 12-year-old would do.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, no, but, like, legitimately, like, as far as, like, thinking things through as a 12-year-old, if somebody is hurting you, I feel like that is exactly how you try and kill someone when you're 12. Like,
yeah, if you don't have access to a gun.
I was gonna say, previous to her, that creepy guy in this one, her social
guardian,
was there any other incident other than her father? Or was it just that?
Not that they've mentioned, but she was... In the book, they kept her past very mysterious.
Hmm.
In fact, a lot of times you didn't even get to see inside her head. You saw her from another person's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like her employer, who she'd been working there for like 5 years.
Who was the guy from ER? I love him so much! I was so excited when I saw him on screen, and then you never saw him. Like, you got to see him for, like, 2 minutes, and I was like, oh.
I mean, the most you really find out about her in the book is, you know, about her old guardian, who's, like, the elderly guy who had the stroke.
It was so sweet.
And it was so tragic.
It was so just sad. Like,
come on. And then also, at one point, she goes to visit her mom, who's in, I think, either an asylum or a nursing home. One of the two.
Okay.
So... And in the Swedish film, they didn't even mention her old guardian in the Swedish film, but she goes to visit her mom in there, and they talk a little bit about her dad, and, like, her mom says, I'm sorry that I married someone who was like that.
Right.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry I didn't pick a better papa for you.
Oh, I don't know. Do we need more versus book? Do you have anything else to say on that? What they should have put in, or what they... maybe did better.
They had so much. I mean, in both films, they had so much. And we've already mentioned, like, the whole London versus Australia thing, which seemed a little weird to me. I think one thing that they did in both films was actually Anita was dead in both films, where in the book she was still alive.
Oh,
so
okay.
she was still operating as, like, a go-between between... like, what was happening in Europe versus what was happening, or versus Harriet in Australia. So, she was the one, they did bug her phone, and she called Harry and was like, Martin's dead. You're safe now.
Oh, something. Okay.
So, but I liked that tie in the book because, holy crap, Anita gave up everything for Harriet. Like, Harriet ended up getting married and having kids in Australia, but Anita never got married because she couldn't legally do it. She stayed as a, as the tie, and, like, she sacrificed a lot, and it just showed how close they were and how much they would give up for each other.
Yeah. We know that the family's super messed up, but is it just that line of the family that the shit's going on, or, you know what I mean, like, or the other parts of the family just don't like each other? You know what I mean? Like, they all don't talk, but...
Yeah,
what
is, none of them are that close at all. Martin's dad, Godfrey, you know, he was obviously psychopathic.
Mm-hmm.
He was also a racist and a Nazi or a fascist or something.
Nazi.
But then they also had the other brother, who... I can't remember what his name was. But he was still alive and... the movie too. Yes, he was another Nazi. So they were made up of racists and bigots and such.
Mm-hmm.
But one
Christopher Plummer didn't seem like that.
No,
maybe
I know.
It's
like,
he was Christopher Plummer
from?
Though.
Where did he come from?
Well, like, he raised all of them too,
yeah.
So it's weird.
Yeah. But also one thing, Cecilia, who was one of the she was okay. In fact, in the book, she and Mikael have a little thing before Lisbeth comes along. And,
okay.
In fact, that's where you see, like, where
Mikael,
she falls
geez.
In love with him, too. She falls in love with him, but she also tells him,
he's got a way with the ladies.
He does.
To be fair, he's Daniel Craig, so...
But, yeah, she ends up falling in love with him, too, but she also has a problem with his relationship with Erica, his business partner. So she ends it because of it.
Hmm. I don't know what else to say about that, guys.
No, I got nothing else.
I don't.
Yep.
Yeah. Should we talk about the woman in black?
Because
I'm excited about this part. Okay, just about the movie, which means we can all talk because we all saw it and got the shit scared out of us.
Oh, baby! Oh my god! I still have to sleep with my light on because of that movie.
I run up our back stairs.
Yeah.
Chase and I had plans to scare her.
I'm very okay. This is what happened. We went to see it before I had to go to work, and so we all went to see it in the afternoon. And then I had to go to work, and I kept being like, "Guys, I have to walk home by myself at 2 a.m."
We met her at the bus stop.
I was like, "I've decided that you guys need to meet me at the bus stop, so I don't have to walk from the bus by myself." And they did very sweetly. But apparently there was a plan to scare me.
It wasn't my plan.
It was Chase's plan to scare me.
Coming up the stairs. He was planning on hiding under the stairs.
I would legitimately have fallen down those stairs and died. I would, and there, because the fact that they're backless, the stairs are backless, is even creepier to me. So when it's dark, I don't like it.
Yeah.
They can get you from either side, guys. I don't like it.
I understand.
Yeah.
I get a little bit freaked out when I shower at night, because we have the window, and I feel like I'm going to see a face, but then I remember...
Or that you might not see a face, but that if other people were looking at you, they would see the face behind you.
Oh, yeah, that's right,
that
part...
That was one of the creepiest parts to me.
I also, for some reason, I guess because there's a woman dressed in black, I think of Insidious.
Yeah.
And so that was the one where she's on the other side of the window.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So I can't, I'm scared. But I have to say that I never saw that woman's face in the movie.
Oh, I did.
I do not know
except
what she looks
end.
Like.
You saw
except
her
except
the
end when she looked at me because I called her a bitch. Have you heard this story, Corey?
No!
So you know how in the end they're walking off and they're happy and she's staring at them? And I, you know, Dan Radcliffe, he's all happy and so... You're looking at the woman, and I'm like, yeah, it backfired on you this time, didn't it, bitch? And she just turns and looks at me.
Like, eyes shifted. And it's like, oh, God.
I was like, oh, my God, I called her a bitch, and she looked at me.
Oh, yes. That was the only time I saw her face the entire movie.
That was the only time I saw her face. All of the other times, like, she was further away, and as she got closer, I was like, nope.
Don't look
covering my eyes.
I hid inside my hood for the majority of that movie.
Oh god.
I had like my feet up on the wall, so it was hiding behind my knees. But
I watched it unabashedly.
Oh god. I was super freaked out. Mm-hmm.
Let me say, Kendall, you said before that like creepy toys and children creep you out.
Those creepy toys.
Oh my god!
Yes. They were devil. Oh. I was like, why would you ever buy your child a toy that looked like that?
Hey,
why?
God. Oh my god, those creepy fucking noises they made?
Yeah. And they all made like some kind of, but like there's toys that play music and then there's toys that play creepy ass music. And that's all he had. That little boy just had creepy ass music playing toys. Did not like. And they were all like clowns, which I do not like.
Clowns. Oh
any
my god.
Kind of circus in thing with the painted faces, no, I can't. Mm-hmm. And they were monkeys but like creepy monkeys. They were cute.
I know,
monkeys.
What was with all the fucking monkeys?
There are cute monkeys. You know? There are cute
there
ones,
monkeys
but those
everywhere
were, like,
in that house.
But those were creepy looking monkeys.
Yeah.
However, the filming.
Oh my god.
During
gosh.
The one point where he has the candle and it looks at the monkey's eyes and he's walking across the thing with the candle. The candle's reflecting in the monkey's eyes. It makes it look like it's moving with him.
Because it's the beams of light.
Him.
Oh my gosh. That was.
And I was just like, I couldn't even be creeped out by it because I was so in awe of how perfectly it was filmed.
It was so good. Oh my gosh. I loved that. You and I just kind of looked at each other at that part. Just went.
That was so brilliant.
Yeah.
It's true.
I don't know, whenever he entered the house, I kind of hid in my hood, and I had this little, there's this little area up here that I could go, mm-hmm. just close when I need to, so I did that a lot. Sometimes I miss.
Yeah. It was funny because, not to quite get into the book yet, but Jess at one point leaned over and went, are you recognizing a lot of things from the movie or from the book? And I was like, no, that's why I'm so scared.
At least
nothing is
book.
Happening the same way. I don't know what's coming.
Oh my god, and all I just want to say is vindictive. Bitch.
I was so angry. I was so angry.
You know, I mean, after she got reunited with her kid, she could have just stopped. It would have been fine. Let the kids go.
Yeah.
But no.
Basically, yeah.
Bitch.
I don't even understand what she was trying to prove. Like, at that point.
Yeah.
Because.
I will
never forgive or forget.
Gonna, like, I'm just going to shiver down my spine if you did that.
The person that she was never going to forgive was dead.
I
there
know.
Was no, no there one was no else reason. Was, like, if all of these other people, it doesn't make any sense.
I thought it was because the cows people wouldn't help them, or wouldn't help her.
Wouldn't help her with what?
Finding her son, or getting her son back, or letting her keep
well,
her
but
son.
Then why take it out on the one person who did help her?
True story.
They, in the movie, imply that she was crazy.
Oh, yeah, she was quite insane.
So, I guess there's that.
Yeah. True.
So, you know, I mean, crazy during life equals super crazy ghost, so.
Yeah.
True. Supernatural taught me that.
Mm-hmm. Plus, I don't even know. Well, I was going to say Poltergeist again, but, like, she obviously wasn't because she was a living person, and Poltergeist is just created by intense emotion, but as far as intense emotion during her life.
It's like The Grudge, but creepier.
Right. Well, see,
well,
I don't know. Did you get from the movie that she had to watch them all die?
The kids?
Her son and her sister and her husband.
I wasn't sure.
You remember the really scary part when he put his hand up on the window and her face? That wasn't supposed to be scary. If you notice, she was completely young and pretty, and she screamed in pain because she screamed, oh, like, oh no, or like something like that. But basically, it was a sad scream. She was watching from that window, and you remember he could see the cross? From that window, she saw them get caught in the muck and had to watch them all die.
All of them died?
I thought it was
Well, no, I guess the sister didn't die, right?
No, I think only the son died.
Yeah, I thought
only the son died.
Yeah, only the son died.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought only
because
the son died.
The husband wasn't there in the book, so.
Oh. Yeah, because she was mad at the husband, too. And I don't think she would be really mad at the husband if he died with. Or I don't think she would. be mad at the husband for not saving him if he died with him.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I know, I hid in my hood during that part. All I heard was the really loud scream.
That was creepy.
It was a really scary part for, like, everybody involved because you didn't expect it, but if you were really paying attention, it was not scary. It was scary because you were shocked that it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, because normally she had, like, a creepier face and stuff. She didn't. She had a young, beautiful face when that was happening. When that happened.
Well, see, what I don't understand is if she was watching them, you know, get into this accident, what was she doing there in the first place? I thought that she didn't live with them and that, like, she wouldn't even, they wouldn't even give her son her letters.
I know. It was really confusing in the movie.
Yeah, I was like, wait. I
think they messed with the story in ways that I'm not sure needed to be messed with, to be quite honest.
Gotcha.
Like, with that, it made it confusing. In the book, she lived in the town, but she begged and begged and begged to be able to see her son.
Yeah.
And so slowly they let her start seeing her son, but only under the condition that he not know that she was his mother.
Yeah.
And then the implication was that the boy just became really attached to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was there a lot and whatever, and, like, kind of started to hate his own mother and whatever. They didn't really explain why, but she was still seeing him.
Yeah.
And so she was still there. And I guess this actually kind of makes her worse. The horse and trap that went down just had the son and his nanny in it.
Oh.
And they both died.
Okay, because in the movie it made it seem like it was him and his parents, and his parents got out.
It was. In the movie, they did make it so that it was him and his parents. And his parents got out and he didn't. But in the book, everybody went down with it. But she blamed her sister for letting him go out that day, I guess, or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which doesn't even really make sense, but, like, I think she just needed somebody to blame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why she was there. Although they kind of, like, I don't know why she was there in the movie then.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, she had, like, a room. Because he went into the room and found the cards under the window seat.
No. The cards were something that her sister had hidden from her son.
Yeah.
Their
son.
She
never got them.
The boy.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Like, basically, because remember, she was like, you never gave him my cards, because her sister had put him in her own room and kept them from him. Because she signed them mum.
Yeah.
Like, get it together, girl. Maybe he would get your cards if you weren't signing them mum, because he's not supposed to know.
Yeah.
Just saying. So, other than that, good movie.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It was, I've said this before, it was my type of scary movie.
Yeah.
The suspense, and at the end of the movie, I had to loosen out my shoulders because I had been holding them so tense throughout the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the suspense and the things fall, like, and then him seeing something through the window, but it never actually coming up to the house, and it was really creepy.
Yeah.
there were a lot of differences, I think.
You're considering, like, that you didn't know what was going
to
happen.
I mean, to be fair, in that kind of context, like I told you, we discussed in the book one, they had to make changes to even the actual events that were occurring or not the events that occurred in the past, but the ones that, the scary things that happened, because of the nature of the scary things that happened.
It had to be more tangible.
Right. So I guess I should have seen that part coming.
Yeah.
That they were all going to be different. But there were a couple of parts where I thought I knew what was going to happen, and they didn't. And she never attacked the dog, so... in the movie. So I was happy about that. Because when I was reading the book, I was like, really? The dog. The dog did nothing to you.
The dog saw her.
Yeah. No. Maybe. Also... scary, the rocking chair part.
Oh. That was one of my favorite scary parts because of the reaction of the people in the theater. It was
literally
amazing.
People screamed.
When
her face flashed really quick?
Yes.
Yeah, they did when I was there too.
People screamed. It was amazing.
It was so good. So good.
I want to know, really? She really rocked that fucking hard? Really?
If she was mad.
That thing was super,
If she was mad, maybe.
That thing was rocking pretty fucking, like, I... was afraid it was going to tip the fuck over a couple of times.
I know, me too. I don't know, yeah, is that, like, historically accurate? Like, the rocking chairs that are that big, is that, like, a historical thing? Because it seems silly. I think if they're smaller, you can rock better. I don't know. What is interesting about the rocking chair, though, is that the rocking chair lulls him in the book.
Oh.
Like, it lulls him into this feeling of, like, comfort and sleepiness.
Did the opposite.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, at first he hears it, and he's like, what is this bumping? You know, like, I don't understand. There's a bumping. It's coming from behind this door.
And then he grabs the axe.
There was no axe in the book. But I appreciated the axe in the movie, because it was just hilarious to see Dan Radcliffe with the candle in one hand and the axe in the other, just like, what? Mm-hmm. Bitch, I'm gonna get you. Except for I was like, she's a ghost, that's not gonna help.
Unless it had iron
in it. Exactly. Things Supernatural taught me. But he hears it, and so it's creepy, but then when he gets to the door, and he's listening to it, and trying to figure out what it is, he's like, it feels like something very familiar. I've heard that sound before. And then he, like, goes into this state where he's remembering when he was little and his nanny would rock him. And he gets all comfort and, like, sleepy and trancy. Which is kind of creepy.
Like, yeah. It's very creepy, but...
Like I said, it was a lot. There's a lot about feeling.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. What about the whole difference between the wife and everything in the book and the movie?
She was an even more vindictive bitch in the book. Because when he went up, which I think we kind of discussed this last time, but when he went up to there, he had a fiance, but not a wife or kid or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so he realized life is short or whatever while he was there, and he immediately goes back, marries her, and she gets pregnant, and then, like, 2 years later, I don't know, the kid is still, like, baby size, at least, I can't remember what, because I know she has to hold him in the book, and they're at a thing, and there's, like, a horse and trap there that, like, at a carnival or something, and, like, it only seats one, so she takes the baby by herself, and he's just like, la la la, waiting for them to come back or whatever, and they come back around the corner, and then he sees the woman in black by a tree, and as they, like, come back, she spooks the horse, and it goes, like, taking off and runs into a tree, and the baby dies instantly because it gets thrown, and the wife is, like, in the hospital for a week and then dies.
This is after he returns to London after, like, 2 years or so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bitch, that's followed awful. Him. It's so bad.
It's terrible. I mean, at least in the movie, you got the idea, like, they were at the train station. You're like, okay, just get out of the town and you're safe.
Yeah.
You know, but that's awful.
So bad.
Mm-hmm.
She, like, and I mean, I don't think she had a history of moving around the country, you know? Like, she specifically followed him. I think it's because he knew.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Like, I don't know why everybody that knew had to die, but whatever.
Yeah.
Well, even he didn't die. Like, his family died. And then he ends up marrying a widow that had kids. And, like, having, you know, so he does end up with a family. They, like, live in the country. And
really? Yeah. The country? Because that's...
In the south.
Oh. Okay.
Not in the north. There are no marshes. They are not by the water. They... Yeah. So, I don't know. Basically, it makes her an even more vindictive, but I don't know. It, like, we kind of talked about this, I think, right after the movie.
Yeah.
Where, like, it's like they had to have a happy ending in the movie where he got to be with, I mean, they didn't really because it was a scary, but, like, for him, like, he got to be with his wife and son, so really, where's the bad?
Yeah.
Like, he was miserable.
Yeah, he was miserable.
And, I mean, they showed, like, the nanny and what's his fate, like, Ciarán Hinds guy. Like, they showed their horrified reactions, but it did end with the, like, the heavenly thing.
Where they walk off into the light.
Before, you know, the creepy woman showed up and looked at you.
Yeah. Right, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, it was like a half of a happy ending, at least for him. But the only problem is that it wasn't a happy ending because people were going to still die because of her. But, like, it was interesting. I don't think Sam and his wife had lost a son, though, in the book either, I'm pretty sure. There was definitely not that whole premonition thing with his wife at all.
Was it the sort of thing, like, she was targeting kids?
Yes.
In the town? Okay, so...
She was targeting kids, and it was all... They made it much more apparent that the kids did something of their, almost of their own, whatever.
Free will.
Not really free will,
because they did it by themselves.
They did it by themselves. They implied that in the book, but it wasn't as explicit. But she was targeting kids, and it was the same thing where it's like, doesn't matter who sees her, somebody sees her, and then a kid dies. What else? There was, what was I going to say? Oh, she was not crazy. I mean, she's...
Obviously, she's a crazy ghost.
She's a crazy ghost, but she was not crazy in life. They did not imply that by any means. They basically just implied intense emotional distress for basically her entire life in the book. It was, like, the letters were all about how she wanted to keep her baby and how it was her baby and how could her parents make her get rid of it and things like that. So there was that whole section, and then finally her sister, you know, adopts it, but she's not allowed to see it, and so she just has, like, all this, like, sadness and everything because of that. And then, you know, she gets to start seeing him, and so I think there is a little bit of an implication that she was slightly
unhinged,
just because she was, all of a sudden, the boy liked her and didn't like his own mother and stuff like that. Yeah. But then she literally watches him die from an upstairs window. So,
yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, that'll push anybody over the edge.
And then the I don't know, if they said why she died in... Oh, yeah, she hung herself. No, she literally died of, like, a broken heart kind of thing. Where she lost the will to live.
No.
Which was what was in the
report. What happened to the baby's father?
There never was one. I mean, not that anybody knew who he was.
It's a very romantic notion to lose the will to live.
Yes.
Isn't it?
So,
he died from a broken heart.
Very romantic. So it was very, like, emotionally fraught, and to the point where I think for the most part, I was just feeling sorry for her the entire book.
Yeah, whereas you watch the movie and
you're like, what a bitch! Yeah, basically. I mean, I did say that at the end of the book when she killed his family, which, to be fair, you should probably feel that way before because she was killing other kids, but you didn't know them personally, and you were just kind of like, okay, she's a crazy ghost, but she had such a just ridiculously emotionally fraught life that you kind of get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it might, I don't like the idea that she was crazy, though. I think that it kind of lessens the idea of her emotional pain.
Yeah.
I mean, her emotional pain definitely came across, but it was more of in the movie, they just seemed to write her off as being a hysterical woman instead of being an emotionally damaged woman.
That is why I don't like that they implied that she was crazy.
Yeah.
And because she also came off as more angry than, like, emotional.
She was definitely angry in the book. There are points where he feels her anger as well. So you definitely get the angry, but you also get the sad. You also get, like, you know, like, other emotions to go along with her. But there are points where he feels her anger and points where he feels something vindictive and evil. So you kind of get a little bit of a wider range, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably much more, probably a better way to not stereotype women.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how I'm trying to phrase that, but I think that it's a little bit harmful to just write her off as crazy.
Yeah.
Mm. And like you said, hysterical, which is just the word du jour. Really.
Yeah, basically any woman who was not proper, quiet, was hysterical.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, which is
crazy. And it's just like, they're not crazy, they're normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I definitely think that was maybe not the best change, but it was just a small thing.
You think part of it could have been attributed to what the author or the movie makers were trying to put in that time period because of what time period they were setting it in?
Maybe. If they were not actually saying she was crazy, but saying that other people were saying she was crazy?
Yeah. Because isn't that one thing, like, in one of the letters in the movie, it said, like, You've had me declared insane so you could take my baby away from me.
Yes.
So maybe that suggested that, yeah, she may have been institutionalized, but she wasn't actually insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really even more annoying if it was her sister.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If it was a man that did that to her,
yeah.
Like, I feel like it would be a better social commentary than a woman doing it to another woman.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's also even that she might have actually gone insane if she got institutionalized because of the treatments. Because a lot
true.
Of the treatments
that's true.
Drove the women insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean.
But if she had been driven insane, then it lessens the power of her emotional pain to drive her to what she did versus, like, it just, like, oh, she was driven insane, so she did this stuff instead of being, like, literally emotional pain drove her to do this because of the way she was treated.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about that other than told Jess that I started crying, tearing up in the movie when they showed the headstone of Nathaniel's headstone, and at the bottom it said, beloved son of Alice and whatever his name, Drablo, and it was all crossed out. I was like, oh god, it's so sad. She's just sad, that's all. Until she becomes a bitch, but that's another story entirely. Oh, the whole thing with him reuniting her with her son's body, not in the book at all.
Gotcha.
So he just leaves.
So maybe
I think that's how they get across the even more vindictiveness in the movie as opposed to the book.
Yeah, that's true too.
He did what
everything he could do, could. And she still killed him or his son or father, whatever.
She still targeted his son and ultimately killed them both.
Right. Yeah.
But do you think it was because, you know, in the movie, do you think because he sacrificed himself to try and save his son is why they got to move on?
I don't know.
I mean, that's also assuming that, like, the other kids who had died, if their parents had found out, like, if their parents had the opportunity, could it have gone the same way, or?
I don't know.
I mean, no.
They kind of did have the opportunity, kind of, but they didn't remember the fire?
Yeah.
Where he was their dad was trying to go back in, and all the townspeople wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it the three girls that jumped out the window?
No chance.
No way.
No chance.
No way. How?
The girl who drank the lie? No chance.
No chance.
Well, if their parents.
The parents weren't there.
Exactly. Parents had been there, but.
It was the kids. Oh, gosh, those poor kids.
Yeah. I mean, that could have been. Oh, and then he was like, oh, she'll be okay, right? You cute little ginger boy.
Yes.
Couldn't even take it.
That part gave me shivers because I was just like, as soon as like she drank rye, and then like you saw
Dan's face.
His face.
Like, oh my god.
Lie?
Yeah.
Who does that? No. See, that would have brought more like method to the madness if it was like their parents could have saved them.
Yeah.
Because her sister supposedly could have saved her son, but I'm not sure there was supposed to be.
I would have just moved away from that town after that.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand why people didn't move away.
I know, especially if there was really no way to stop her, kind of proven by that.
And I also wondered why, you know, how when people get hysterical about shit like that, they just, like, burn down whatever it is that they think is the fixation of the ghost. Like, the house and the marshlands and all that stuff where she was. Just burn it down so nobody ever had a reason to go out there.
Yeah, but she came into the town.
Well, she came into the town when she was killing the kids.
Yeah.
She didn't appear in the town.
She did appear in the town.
She did appear in the town, but they didn't see her in the town to, like, trigger the kids' deaths. It was only when someone went out to the house and they saw her there.
In the book,
In the book, the first time he sees her, but to be fair, this could have been an isolated incident, he sees her at her sister's funeral. That's the first time he sees her. See, and that's what makes her seem unassuming, too, because she comes, she sits through the funeral, she's there in the graveyard, and that's why he thinks she's a real person. Because she doesn't mm-hmm. look like a ghost, she just looks like whatever.
Oh,
she stays away from everybody, but like, and so then he like says to the Jerome, the like other lawyer guy or whatever, he says, like, who was that woman? And Jerome, like, freaks the hell out. Like, basically almost has a heart attack.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the first clue that something is not right. And then he sees her once he goes out to the house, and he thinks she's real again until she, like, disappears in the middle of nowhere.
So, after he sees her at the funeral, does, like, a child die after that one? Or does a child die after the next time he sees her?
I don't remember any children dying. I think I don't remember like any children dying in the town while he was there.
Oh.
I think she just goes after his son. Maybe not. Oh. I don't know.
Not something that they definitely added in the movie.
But yeah. I guess I didn't really think about it. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, people are really, and people are a little bit more rude in the movie as well about it.
Yeah.
Like, they know if he goes out there, it's not good kind of thing, you know what I mean? Whereas, like, that was never, like, a real thing in the, I mean, they were reluctant to speak of it, but they weren't, like, trying to stop him from going out there or anything.
Yeah.
They were just advising him against it, or advising that he not stay overnight, or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember the driver that died was Keckwick's father, that died with the nanny and Nathaniel. That's not even, like, really that significant.
Yeah.
I just thought of it, because they just talk about that, and they talk about Jerome losing a child, but don't imply that he had another at any point or anything, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I just move away and not have kids.
Oh,
how does the population keep growing? All the kids are dying.
I don't know. Maybe people move into the town.
Why?
I know. Why would someone stay?
I don't know.
I mean, that's why it's a story, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else to say. I told you all the differences. I guess as far as the storyline goes, I kind of appreciated the book a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the movie being scary, the movie was definitely scarier.
Yeah.
It definitely scared me more than the book did.
Fair enough.
Okay. But to be fair, nothing jumped out at you in the book. Like, she wasn't, screaming and, like, dive-bombing him or anything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the nursery scene. Didn't see that part. Hidden my hood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. Or, I'm not gonna lie, there was a lot of that that I didn't.
I know. I didn't either. It's okay. It's
really well.
So, like, maybe half the movie.
Yeah. Anybody have anything to add? Or shall we wrap it up?
I don't have anything
I'm done.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Good. We're done. Okay. Well, the next episode is going to be on the movie One for the Money when it comes out, which is tomorrow. So, whenever, you know, we decide to see it.
Pretty much.
And then also Dr. Seuss's The Lorax, which we're really excited about.
We are really excited about this.
As you may have heard at the beginning of this episode. you can find us at adaptationpodcast.blogspot.com, where you can comment on the episode, subscribe to our podcast feed, and find all of the show notes and links. Plus, I just added a new section with a list of the upcoming movie adaptations, plus links to the movies and the books, basically until, like, April. It's a pretty long list. And you can also like us on Facebook. So, until next time, this is Adaptation reminding you...
Therapy is expensive, bubble wrap is cheap. Your choice.